Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before thee again. In this afternoon hour, round about thy precious and living word, we are thankful, O Lord, for thy blessings and for thy presence that was with us this morning, and we believe again as we call upon thee in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that thou would be in our midst and instruct us, and as we have sung, be our only teacher, that thou would instruct us in the way of truth and life, and that Jesus Christ would be the center of our worship, our praise and adoration, truly the focus of our hearts and our affections in this life here below and for eternity. We give thee our heartfelt thanks for gathering us together and pray that thou would bless our time together in thy word, that thou would instruct and help us to grow in the knowledge and stature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that thou would be with us now in this afternoon hour, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. With the Lord's help, I desire that we would read together from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 15. I wish to read the first 20 verses. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death.' But ye say, 'Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free.' Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called the multitude and said unto them, 'Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man.' Then came his disciples and said unto him, 'Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.' Then answered Peter and said unto him, 'Declare unto us this parable.' And Jesus said, 'Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Desire to conclude with verse number 20. May the Lord bless the. Jesus and the disciples find themselves in a place to eat in the presence of the scribes and the Pharisees, and in a situation that is very common for the believers. They're asked a question, but really being accused. Why don't the followers of Jesus do what everybody else who forsake the commandments of God do? Why don't they follow the same programs, the same operations, the same way of life as the majority religious people who keep the commandments of God at arm's length? And the answer is simple. Because the followers of Jesus love him, and he has taught us to keep his word. And we believe that following him brings the greatest sense of purpose, meaning, and joy to our lives. And we will not deny him. All of the things of the world we can deny, but the words of Jesus Christ, we cannot. And for the disciples, we see that Jesus answers for them in a succinct and beautiful and powerful way. And there is great comfort, there is great peace. There's great contentment to the follower of Jesus who is walking in the way of Jesus Christ and who can confidently say, Christ is interceding for me. Christ, his word, is my reason and rationale for the decisions I make, the life I lead. And though the world sees it as odd and perhaps would like to accuse, when we stand with Jesus, there's great peace, great contentment when he answers for us. Jesus Christ will not be the minister of sin, that is for sure. He will condemn sin, he has condemned sin in the flesh. And so he will not answer for us in our sin. But we read in the Epistle of John, comforting words that speak to the peace, the comfort, the contentment that we have when our faith and our love are firmly grounded in Jesus Christ and his teachings. It says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So, as was said, when our love is in deed and in truth and not simply in word and in tongue, and when our faith is firmly grounded in Jesus Christ, we have assurance. And we have confidence towards God. And the disciples perhaps feared when they were asked and accused of the Pharisees this question, but Jesus has the perfect answer. He did not say, no, we're good, we're doing right. He did not accuse the elders of their commandments, but he spoke directly to the accusers, directly to the people. He speaks directly to those that accuse the brethren. He speaks directly to those who bear false witness against the truth. He speaks directly to those who sow discord among brethren. Because those who do such things are in bondage and are defiled. And his words speak to the heart and they speak sharply, but they are words of necessity. And there are but two responses that we can have. We can be offended at the judgment of Jesus Christ and his word toward us. Or we can embrace it and embrace him and draw near to him for healing. Because we will not be able to clean the stain of sin from our lives and from our hands. We're in need of one who can purge us, who can cleanse us, who can help us. Jesus tells the Pharisees, and he speaks to them and uses this accusation even as an opportunity to teach. Their accusation was, why do the disciples not wash their hands when they eat bread? It seems that this was a tradition that was established by the Jewish rabbis and leaders, that they would often wash their hands. They would often wash their pots and their vessels, and otherwise they would not eat. And so they acknowledge this is a tradition of the elders, but they still want to bring an accusation. Why don't they do this? Jesus asks them, why do ye transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? It seems that the popular and majority religious opinion of the day was to practice religion in such a way that kept the commandments of God at arm's length. The commandment and word of God that was able to speak light and all of the planets and the animals and creation into existence and even sustains our very breath. They practiced religion in such a way that that powerful word would not take effect, would not have any traction, would not have any impact in their life. Instead of embracing the word of God, they chose a substitute. Rather than obeying the Lord's command to honor the father and the mother and to provide for them as their sunset years would come and they would have need, and learn how God teaches us to love and care for those in need, instead, they worshiped the temple. And the gold of the temple. They worshiped the altar and the gift that was upon the altar, rather than the one who dwelled in the temple, God himself. And substitutes are numerous, and even as was mentioned this morning, have been offered for millennia. And Jesus quotes Isaiah the prophet to describe these people, that they draw near unto him with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." It's a direct quote from Isaiah. There's another scripture. Ezekiel speaks of this sort of attitude and what it brought about in the lives of the children of Israel. And it's odd because the Pharisees and the scribes, they took such great pride in their nation and who they were. But they forgot some of these dark moments of their history. These dark moments of history that should have taught them not to have so much confidence in themselves. The Lord speaks to Ezekiel and says, "Thou son of man, the children of thy people are still talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak to one another, everyone to his brother, saying, 'Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord.'" Not an invitation of honesty, but one of deceit. Because, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them." Isn't that beautifully and powerfully fulfilled when Jesus Christ was in their midst? Can you imagine if the tendencies of man's heart could be spoken far in the past and they would be able to describe the attitudes and the tendencies of people today? The Word of God does this. It spoke to the people of Ezekiel's time, and it clearly spoke to the people in Jesus' time, and it speaks in our time as well. The Lord does not delight in the gift and the sacrifice, but in obedience from the heart. To give ourselves, not merely our things, a test of love, a test of faith. And yet, the word goes out, and some respond and some do not. After addressing the Pharisees and scribes, Jesus calls to the multitude and says, "Hear and understand." He lovingly invites the multitude to hear and to understand. Do you remember when Jesus talked about the four grounds? And that there was a ground that was like the wayside, and Satan took, and the birds of the air came and took the seed that was sown there. Jesus described that ground as a ground of a heart that did not understand, and that which was sowed there was lost, was taken away. So Jesus is saying, when he says, "Hear and understand," he says, "Hear the words, but keep them also. Do not let them be lost." Jesus says, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. And then he went and spent time with his disciples. He spoke to the multitudes what they needed to hear. The disciples came unto him. I said, Jesus, do you realize that your answer that you gave them, that this offended the Pharisees and the scribes when they heard this saying? You know, that they were offended that the things that come out of their mouth were defiling them. But Jesus came not to speak pleasantries, but to speak the truth. We read much in James about the power of the tongue, how it is a little part of our body, but it can speak great and damaging things. Jesus bears witness to the truth. And we have one of two options what we do with the words of Jesus. We can be offended like the Pharisees. These Pharisees who are offended at the word of Jesus and who reject it ended up walking down a path back to Jerusalem where they would deny Jesus and convince the crowds to crucify him. That is the ultimate destiny of those who are offended at the words of Jesus Christ. And they did so without a cause. They had no right to reject him. They also had no right to be accusing the disciples, for they had their own sin and defilement and darkness that they tried to conceal. They tried to patch up the cracks in the wall and make a good appearance, but to no avail and to no help to their souls, to no purifying of their hearts, to no unburdening of the heavy load. Jesus says, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. This goes for the teachings of the elders that were given and referenced, this washing of hands. But the word of God will endure. And this goes for people. For people who reject the word of God and are not, as we had prayed, planted and established by our Heavenly Father, will be rooted up. They will be cut off. Those that are defiled will be cut off. Those that do not bear fruit will be cut off and cast into the fire. And Jesus, after proclaiming the truth about their practice and their tradition that they had set up as a substitute for wholehearted love and faith for the Word of God and His precious Son, Jesus Christ, He says, let them alone. But didn't Jesus come to help and to heal and to save? Yes, he did. And he offers his word, and as he offers his word, it is extended for us to choose to be offended or to embrace it. There's no substitute. There's no alternative path. And if they reject it, then leave them alone. There's only so much that can be said. This is the same Jesus that instructed his disciples to go and preach. And if those who hear the word reject it? Shake the dust off your feet. Don't stay and continue speaking to people that reject, who deny. Go and find those who will receive and build them up. Preach the kingdom of God. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Peter is desiring. He is showing that he doesn't understand, but he is interested to learn. Isn't that how we all are? The wisdom of God is so much higher than what any of us can fathom. But do we have the interest to learn, to ask, and to seek, and to knock, and to draw closer? When we do, Jesus says, he will answer. We will find. He will open the door. But it takes some faith, doesn't it? To trust that the Lord will follow through when we seek after him with all of our heart. Peter asked, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus, surprised at them, are ye also yet without understanding? See, it seems to me that the disciples had forsaken the practice, or had not placed priority on the practice of washing their hands before the meal, as the elders desired for them to have it. They were practicing something, but they didn't really understand. It's a good thing Peter asked. That in malice, they would be children, as we heard last week, but in understanding, that by learning from Jesus Christ, we might be men. Men and women of God. Understanding our hearts and how the spiritual kingdom of God works and is worked out in our everyday life. Don't you understand? In this physical way that the food goes in, or the things that we eat go in, it goes into the belly and it goes out. But there's a distinction between that and the heart, the spiritual man, but by which God judges and discerns man and his ways. It says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Have you ever said something that later you regretted? Have you said something that you wish later on, I wish I had just closed my mouth? Who can we blame for the words that are not fitly spoken? Jesus says this comes from our hearts. We can't blame our environment. We can't blame the media who told us, or the friend who told us this and that. It didn't come from the devil, although he likely used it to his advantage. But it came from our heart. And when we have no one else to blame and nowhere else to turn, where do you go? Are you offended? Do you wish to cover it up? Do you wish to say it never happened? It would be like a child that found the blueberry pie in the kitchen and they weren't supposed to touch it. And mom knows better, because now they're covered. Now they're defiled. God knows us through and through. And if we have walked away from the path of Jesus Christ, if we have walked away from obedience to the commands of God, if we have taken substitutes and the deception that has been offered, the word is clear that we should not give rest to our eyes, but that we should urgently turn from our wicked way. Seek the Lord. Repent. Jesus says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. And at this clarification and explanation, all of us can be humbled when even the evil thought is seen and known. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So often, the path to great sin is paved with small omissions and leniency in our heart. It's not that bad. But Jesus desires for his followers that we would follow not the logic of this world and the logic of the majority religious opinion of the day, but that we would follow wisdom that comes from above. And the scripture teaches us that the wisdom that comes from above is first pure and peaceable and easy to be entreated. We are called to be pure in heart that we might see God. Where will we turn? Where is our rest and comfort and cleansing? But at the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not just a fixed up facade. He is not looking for attention from men. He's looking for the genuine devotion, faith, and trust, and love from a willing heart. This, in the sight of God, is of great price. It's valuable. Remember going, many of us haven't gone to Canada in a long time. But when you go to the border shops, they're used to seeing people crossing the border from a different country. We are on the border between this world that we are in but not of and the heavenly. What currency is valuable in our midst? The meek and quiet spirit? Or the great show? May God give us wisdom to choose his path that leads to peace and contentment, where we trust his word as the answer for everything in our lives. May God bless his word. Amen.